Hello, this is Anthony Young calling from Florida. I'm a researcher doing a book on the Rocketdyne F1 engine.
Oh, can you hold on? I'll let you talk to my husband.
Thank you. Yes, hello. This is Anthony Young calling. This is Mr. Tseka?
Yeah?
I got your name from an article that appeared in the Los Angeles Times about 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
You were featured rather... You may remember that article.
Yes, I do.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm calling. I'm a historian, and I've written a number of books on aerospace subjects, and I'm currently working on a history of the development of the Rocketdyne F1 engine for the Saturn V. You were one of the pioneers there at Rocketdyne working on, I think it was Vertical Test Stand 1, correct?
Yeah, I worked on all of them.
Well, I was wondering if you could give me a little bit of your time today to talk about your experiences, or would you like me to call back at another time?
This is kind of a bad time. I got a project going that I just can't leave. I'm gluing up a bunch of wood.
Oh, okay. When
I can give you the number of somebody that is a lot more knowledgeable about it and has all the time in the world to talk about it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Ernie Barrett?
Ernie Barrett.
I think he's in the same article.
Oh, okay, yes.
Let me give you his telephone number. He lives in Vegas, and he's kind of an invalid, so he can talk on the phone all he wants.
Right.
I think he can give you a lot more information than I can.
Okay.
Hang on a minute.
Okay, great. Okay.
Just a minute. He has a cell phone, and I don't think this. I'll get the right number.
Okay, that's fine.
You gotta dial a 1 in front of a cell phone number, I guess.
Yes.
I'm hitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here you go.
Okay.
It's 1-702.
Okay.
372.
1771.
Okay. His name is Barrett, Ernie.
Okay.
He was an engineer on all of these projects and very, very knowledgeable about just about anything you might want to ask him. I was just a technician and I didn't have much to do with the, doing the job.
Right.
But you're feel free to call me back if you don't get what you need out of Ernie.
Okay. Just one quick question. What year did you start working at Rocketdyne?
1950.
Okay. Well, I'll probably call you back. I don't have an opportunity to speak with too many veterans that were there almost from day one, so...
You know, they're dying off fast.
Right. I just finished up a book on the lunar rover. And it's just been published. You could probably go on Google and find it. Lunar and Planetary Rovers.
You know, the guy that worked on these projects more than anybody else, in fact, he was the manager of most of them, was my brother. And he unfortunately died here about 2 months ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Bill Thaker. You've probably heard of him.
I see.
You can find him on the internet a dozen times. Plug in his name.
Okay.
He was the president of the Tulsa division for a while, Rocketdyne division.
Yes.
and but he can't help you now.
No, I'm afraid that's why I'm trying to work as fast as I can. Well, Ernie, I hope I can. Clement, I hope I can give you a call back here if I got some holes in my story.
Maybe sometime tomorrow or so.
Okay. I may give you a try tomorrow this time. Thanks for your help. I'll give Ernie a call.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes, hello. This is Anthony Young calling for Ernie Barrett, please.
Ernie Barrett, please, is here.
Okay, Ernie, I just spoke with Clement Cheka.
Yeah.
He gave me your number. I am working on a book on the development of the Rocketdyne F1 engine.
Yeah.
And he said you'd be a good person to talk with.
Okay.
What I want to do is I've got a chapter specifically devoted to the early, the origin and early development of the F1 engine, but I'm also trying to get a bit of the story of what Rocketdyne was like in the early 50s and onward, and was hoping you could speak with me today for a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. What?
I'll start out. We were working with the Navajo.
Yes.
Which is that box alcohol, two-stage. Okay.
Yes, I'm familiar with it somewhat.
And then we went into an engine called the G38, which is a three...
I'm sorry, which was what?
Three barrels.
Oh, okay.
Three chambers, okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you hang on just a second, please?
Huh?
Just a moment, I have to get something. Hang on. Yes, okay. The G38.
Yeah, and then that was an Air Force project.
Yes.
Are you aware that the Air Force and the Army were in business at the same time?
No, I was not.
Okay, as I go through, I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
And then... at that time, we were going to build more Navajo stands, and we got word to build 15 test stands rather than two. And we built up what three positions: an Alpha, Bravo, Coca, and Delta. And we put one in the stand in the bowl area, which is where this one was.
Okay.
And one in the Redstone area. I'll come back to the Redstone. Okay.
Okay.
And then we built one. And it was,
okay.
And that was the stuff where we had under production at the same time with the Redstone, which is Lox alcohol. We had the Atlas 5 chamber, which turned into a 2 booster chamber because of the hydrogen bomb came in. It lightened the load, all right?
Yes, that's right.
And then we had Jupiter, which was the Army. And then we had Thor. So in the meantime, we were running a Redstone engine, which was the German version of their engine, all right?
Yes.
We went to a flat-based injector. That's what gave us the big boost.
Now, what year were these test stands were pretty much after vertical test stand one, these yeah. others followed about what year?
Well, let's see, we started out with this one, about 48, and then we went on to build this two, which was at that time the Navajo Lox alcohol, all right?
Oh, I see, okay.
Okay, and at the same time, we went from the German and the Army, what they call the V2,
yes,
into the Redstone, and we built test stands for the Redstone. This started in the 50s.
Yes.
Beginning of the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on to develop the different engines, Now the F1 was just an expansion of the knowledge we had of turbopumps and chambers. And we tested the F1 engine at Edwards. But prior to that, we had run short chamber on Bravo 1 high pressure test stand.
Okay.
Just off the injector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then on Bravo 2, we were running Atlas, and it was later converted over to turbo pumps. And then we had an oddball engine, which was, nitric acid and this 3, Bravo 3. Anyway, the orange flame, I'm dead right there.
Mm-hmm.
We had so many different engines and things going on at the same time.
Well, let me back up a little bit. I understand that the E1 was a precursor to the F1 engine, about 400,000 pounds.
That's right. That was tested on Delta 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out as much as I can about the E1 because that was...
Well, it was an upgraded... It was the step there in the F.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which was... it was on Delta 2. And, and it was just, everything was, what is it when you would double everything up from what you already had, from a midget to a, it's like going from a Model T to a Cadillac.
Oh, okay, an upgrade, I guess.
Yeah, you took knowledge and just upgraded. Yeah, the E1 was on there. Yeah. Of course, at this time, we're also running 3 component test stands, which were running gas generators, turbo pumps, starters. I'd have to go separately.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, CTL-5, which is a motor-driven test facility for pumps.
I see.
Which was upgraded from... originally, we had one down at CTL-1, but we were using the Pacific Railroad, the red car transformers and so forth to run that one.
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see. It's hard to piece it all together, but you start with, like you say. And then when we went to Edwards, we had the F1 on 1A. And then we had 2A, 2B rather, which is a dual position F1. But we later stopped running into the dual position because the acoustical vibration just so close together was breaking up things.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then came along the production area of the 3 stands for F1.
Mm-hmm. Well, the what's really the F1 in any way tested in the Canoga Park or the Simi Valley facility, or was it all at Edwards?
No, the engine itself was always at Edwards.
I see.
Like I say, the injector was done at Bravo 1.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that was a short barrel.
Yes.
And it was only seconds it was run. It wasn't run for refrigeration or anything.
Yes.
It was just to get through transition, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
From start to start.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, what year did you start at Rocketdyne?
Did I start at Rocketdyne?
Yes.
Well, I started down at the airport in 1946.
Oh, that was before there was a Rocketdyne. It was North American Aviation.
Right. North American Aviation for a long time. And then I moved to the Hill.
Okay.
We had a turbo, but I'm trying to think of the 2 propellants. All I can remember is barf, big fucking red cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And electric. I forget the other propellant. But we didn't stay in the storm too incorporated the oxygen side, we use fluorine.
Oh, did you say fluorine?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did that on Delta 3.
I see.
You're going through sand by sand by sand. It'll take a long time.
Well, I'm particularly interested in focusing on the F1 here, but are you saying most of your experience was at the facility, at the bowl area?
No, I had charged a lot of the areas, but I was the group leader in charge of test up at Edwards.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which was there later on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
you saw a lot of testing of the F1 at Edwards then.
Oh yes, yeah.
What was the configuration of the engine? Were you waiting? Was Rocketdyne waiting to have the test stands at Edwards built for the F1?
You muffled on me there.
Okay. Did you have to wait on the construction of test stands at Edwards before testing there?
We had 1A, which was a Atlas stand, and that was where we then we built the 1B.
I see, yes.
And then the production area.
I see, okay. What was the initial test like? What form did the test take? Were they, and their duration? These were very short tests. Were they less than a second, several seconds, or what?
Well, you always start out that way. It's going to get a longer duration. We had more trouble getting an effective flame deflector at that limited duration. First time we fired the long duration on 1A, away the walls, side walls of the tunnel, and then we had to go down to the work. So it was saying, at the same time you were developing the engine, you were developing the facility. Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm here, I'm listening.
Yeah.
I guess you're on your cell phone, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, sometimes it drops out a little bit, it's a little bit hard to hear.
That's the only phone I have.
Okay. How many years were involved out at Edwards on F1 engine testing?
Well, I would say 5 or 6. I later left the F1 to go down to Downey on the Apollo.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the most impressive test that you witnessed on the F1? What the
wrong?
Okay.
Yeah. I guess 2A, 1A rather, 2A, the horizontal press chamber stand, where you can see the mock diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
Horizontally.
Okay. Was the F1 actually tested horizontally?
The F1 itself? No, the chamber was.
Oh, I see, okay.
That was the press chamber stand.
Okay, and on which, and that thrust chamber stand was installed on what test stand? Do you remember? Was that 1A?
No, 2A.
2A, all right.
Yeah. And, it was a high pressure stand,
Okay.
Short duration.
Mm-hmm. What was the work pace like on this? I understand with all these...
The divorce rate was high.
The divorce rate was high. That's what I understand.
We worked, we worked, for a while there, we worked 9 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then they cut us back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guys were working Saturday and Sunday and taking Monday and Tuesday off.
Okay.
You can imagine what was going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they were getting paid 2 or 3 days enough to get a lot of military veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the military standpoint, but from, you know, the aging. And we weren't getting, well, we were getting people with backgrounds, mechanical backgrounds, that just fit right in, you know, to do the whole work.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I left out of there is in Alpha, the control center is buried under the ground.
Oh, really?
And all the rest of them were above ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason this was underground was at the time we started to develop the test stands and all that, why the hydrogen bomb came in.
Oh, I see.
And we built the reason we got the upgrade and get so many programs about building new stands is we built them large, you know, large thrust.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we used the Atlas at that time was barrels. And then when that came through, why the Atlas was made into two parts. We had the two booster engines and then we developed the sustainer engine.
Yes.
So that was done on Alpha 3.
Okay.
So like I said, we had lots of programs and lots of things going on at many times, many places. But getting back to your thing, we had a very heavy schedule over time. It was unlimited.
Okay. The what more can you tell me a bit about the E-1? That was really a plan for the first Saturn I, and basically, I understand it did go into the development and test firing stage, but never went into production, the E-1.
I wasn't aware of that it was going to go into the Saturn. I was just tested on Delta 2, is all I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an upgrade, and so forth.
And again, it was based on, it was upgraded from what basic engine?
From about a basic knowledge of all of turbopumps.
Oh, I see, okay. Okay. Well, do you have any idea why it was never approved for production for a launch vehicle?
The E-1?
Yes, uh-huh.
No.
Okay.
No, we never had any production.
Okay.
We only had one stand, and that was just for R&D.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like to work for the? I've come across some of the names. Hoffman was one. I think he was.
He was president.
Yes, that's right.
Right. At the time, we had Werner von Braun and Dr. Riedel and those people. At the time, he was in the Army. All right.
Yes.
And then these guys later went into NASA.
Yes, that's right.
And, Sam Rock was there. Vogt was there, Paul Vogt. You heard the other?
No, I'm still getting names together. Of course, I'm kind of surprised that nobody years before has bothered to try to compile a history on the F1 engine. And, but I'm doing it now, and I just want to speak with as many veterans as I can who worked
well,
on
it. Well, you know, one of the guys down below wrote a book about Rocketdyne and the Hill.
Oh, really? Yes, I think I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my name's in the register, I remember.
Okay.
And, I was the 50th person on the Hill.
Okay.
Okay.
Were you at all involved in the design of the test stands being built?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was headed up by Doug Croslin and Larry and John Singer and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we produced the test stands is John and I got in a Jeep, drove through the brush, 50-gallon drums with us, and we stood where the control center was going to be and pointed, they put a barrel there, and that's how we located the test stand.
Okay.
A little crude, but it worked.
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
And that was in, early 50s then?
Oh, yeah. That was, early 50s, yes.
Well, the the vertical test stand number one was by itself for a number of years before all these other test stands were built.
Well, not really that long, because it came along with one, and then we built a horizontal test position there.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever heard of the Cook sled?
No, I have not. I'm not familiar with that.
We built the engine for that. That was the sled with the monkey in the antenna.
Oh yeah, the rocket sled.
Right.
Okay.
That was done on our horizontal. But then right after this one, when we built that chute, because we had a contract with the Redstone and the Navajo at that time.
Okay. The Navajo went through its growing pains for sure.
It was canceled in favor, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Atlas and that.
Okay. You know, I had quite a bit of difficulty coming across even any photographs of the period where these engines were being tested. I don't imagine you have any photographs like that, do you?
Yeah, but I don't know where they are. I'll tell you, that's why you get down in our relational relations people. They've got lots of pictures. Because I gave them most of my pictures.
Oh, and do you have the name of someone I could speak with there? All right. And, do you have a last name?
Mine?
No, Vincent, you said. Vincent.
I'm trying to remember it.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember it right now. He works there. He's the curator of the gym of the museum there.
Oh, okay.
And he's well known. He went through all the engines so forth at that time, and put the stuff together.
And that's
Vincent,
you say he's at Rocketdyne?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait a minute, if you got a minute, I'll get in. Unfortunately, I don't work too well. I'll take a minute. I know
okay.
Where the book is. I'll take it.
That would be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, dear. I'm sorry. I like talking to you when you come through the door, but I got on the phone.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right, darling.
There I am, Chappie, like a goat.
Yes. Let me back up a little bit. Would you say, Ernie, you started in Rocketdyne in 1948, is that right?
No, I started in 46.
46, okay.
Yeah, I worked down at the airport. You know, our first test site was at the airport, in Los Angeles Airport.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were testing in the parking lot down there.
Okay.
There's pictures of that around.
Okay.
And then, of course, we also had a research department.
Mm-hmm.
They worked on the propellants, and they worked on a Nalar rocket.
Okay, well, I'm just familiar with the Vanguard program, which, of course, wasn't very successful.
Yeah, I know, the Civil Service rocket. You know why we call it there, don't you?
No, I don't.
It didn't work, and you couldn't fire it.
I may put that in the book. That's a... Okay.
That's what we called it, anyway.
Okay. Well, it was a pretty lousy performer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was involved with the first launch on the down the Redstone at the Cape.
Mm-hmm.
Me and another guy thought we were going to be real smart and get a good view, and went over by the ammunition dump, crawled up one of the mounds and stood there looking at the engine. When it took off, it went right over our heads. We said they were a hell of a good place to watch it from.
Let me back up to the Redstone engine, because that's significant. That was, I guess after the Navajo, that was the next biggest...
That was the Redstone.
Yes.
Well, it was a lot of alcohol now.
Okay.
And the Navajo was, it started out in lots of alcohol and then switched to RP. Gotcha. JP.
Mm-hmm.
They had lots of names for the fuels at that time.
Okay. When do you recall first testing the Redstone engine?
The first test?
Yeah.
March of 50.
March of 1950, okay.
Yeah.
And that was...
Yeah, we had a 50th anniversary celebration. You get all the events, it'll show you all the stuff and all the people. And you're not going to find too many of them around.
Yes.
How'd you find Clem?
Well, I came across an old Los Angeles Times article that came out in 1996 on when they were dismantling VTL-1, vertical uh-huh. test and one, and the others. And you were mentioned in that article also, I
yeah.
believe.
Yeah, they gave us a bolt out of the test stand.
Oh, is that?
As a memoir of it, yeah.
Well, I could understand the reasons for tearing it down, but I could also understand why people were upset. It should have been a landmark.
Well, we had to get involved in that, too. We tried to get the people to declare it a national site, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not familiar with the politics. I can only remember talking to the people when they came up to the test site.
Yes, that's right. Is there any other memories you'd like to tell me a little bit about on the F-1 engine testing out at Edwards? Did you live out at the Edwards site? Did you have your...
I did. I lived in Palmdale.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, when the B-70 canceled, there was an awful lot of housing available.
Yeah.
That's how we ended up living there. Well, one of the most amazing things I saw was when a Luxem color came apart and the divider dropped down out of the pump, you know, the boat.
Yes.
As all it caught the edge of the box pump and stopped the engine and never blew up. And that was something to me that amazing to get in there and see that when they used to blow up for no reason.
Oh, you mean it came apart but it did not blow up?
Yeah, internally, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was always the state with me.
And That must have been in the early 60s then.
Yeah, 65,
66,
yeah.
I see, okay. What I'd like to do, Ernie, is go over some notes that I've made here and then give you a call back, because I'm sure the connection here has dropped out a couple of times and I may have lost some information. But I'll give you a call back within the week if I have any other questions. Are there some other people that you can think of that I might speak with? I understand Bill Cheka passed away just a few months ago.
Yeah, we just had a memorial about a couple of weeks ago.
I see.
We had down in Newport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, down there to see that. And believe it, there only one other guy showed up. His name was Frank Daggett.
Frank Daggett.
Yeah, he was the supervisor of the instrument lab for day one until he got retired. We had an equipment lab and an instrument lab.
Well, he'd be a good guy to talk to.
Yeah.
Where does he live right now?
He's down towards San Diego. I can't think of it.
Okay.
Clemente. If you talk to Clemente, have his number.
Oh, all right. I'll give him a call.
But Frank never got out to the test stands. He's in the lab the whole time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you talking with me.
There's two breakfasts they have. I can tell you about one of them. Yeah, I think it's every once a month on Thursday they meet down there at Owens and
I say yes.
Well, look at the names of the presidents, vice presidents, if anybody that I know is on there would know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got a roster, but it wouldn't tell you who worked on what.
I see.
It just tells you the membership of the club.
Okay.
And this club meets once a month on Thursday. Now, like, they met February 15th, so they'll meet. What'll they meet next? Okay, March 15th they're going to meet, okay?
Yes.
Of course, then you're still in Miami, so don't do anything.
Okay.
But I'm just, you know, kind of
okay.
Blabbering on here. I can't, like, give you something.
Well, I'll go over my notes here.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll have a couple follow-up questions, but I'll give you a call back at this number, Ernie, if later on this week, okay?
All right.
Thanks so much for talking with me today, and I'll get back.
Before you go.
Yes.
Before you go, let me get a pencil.
Okay.
And write down your name and number.
That would be great.
Come on. Okay.
My name is Anthony.
Anthony, okay.
Young, Young.
Right.
And my phone number is 305.
305.
Area code.
Mm-hmm.
255.
55.
2349.
2349. Okay. I'll keep that with all the notes.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah. And like I said, you get a hold of Vince, and he's got a whole lot of them that never got published that he used. Things, so, you know,
okay. I'll see if I can get his number and give him a call.
Right.
Okay, thanks for talking with me today, Ernie.
Right.
I'll talk to you soon.
Sorry, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.